Okay, so now we're going to let's try to take up the question of the Machlokas in the Mishnah, right? So the Mishnah gave over the whole Seder, the whole, all the rules of it, all the Krovim, correct? All the Krovim. And then Rabbi Yossi says, Zu Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi says these rules of Achiv, Achi Aviv, Achima, all those cases, that's really the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. But there was a Mishnah, but the Mishnah Rishona had Dodo, Uben Dodo, Vekola Roy Liyorsho. Okay. It had who? Uncle, cousin, and whoever is Roy to inherit. Okay, I don't know if you noticed or not, but that there's a question of where the Kol HaRoi Liyorsho goes. But we'll learn according to this, to Rashi in the Mukhi Yosef, that it goes with Mishnah Rishonah. Okay, so let's take Rashi. Kol HaRoi Liyorsho. So how did that work out? I think we discussed this already. Did we do this in Shir one day? Yeah. So basically, according to Rashi, how does it work out? It means that... it's going to be the uncle from your father. Yes. The uncle from your father is, that's Dodo. That's the full Dodo, right? But the uncle from your mother, it's only because you're Roy to be your Hashim. So your puzzle to be made on his case because you could inherit from him. But he could be made on you because he can't inherit from you. Right, because the Yerusha, in the absence of children, the Yerusha goes up to the father. Okay, so if you, so in other words, your mother's side will never inherit from your, from you. Right, is that clear? Your mother's side will never inherit from you. Because if you're, if you have no children, so then it goes up to your father. If your father's not alive, it'll go down to your brother. And if there are no brothers or sisters, it'll go grandfather. And then back down, okay? But it never will go back up on the mother's side. So your uncle from your mother's brother will never inherit you. Okay, but you could inherit him. Why? Because if he dies... then and he doesn't have his and he has no father, so it'll go to his sister, which is your mother. And if she's not alive, it'll go to you. Right? So it's possible to be yorish from the mother, from the mother's side, but not to be morish to the mother's side. Okay? So that's the way Rashi learns. That's the way Rashi learns. So it comes out that it be that there's a certain inequality here, right? We don't just look now, according to Rashi, at direct closeness. We don't look at the absolute closeness. We have to look at direction is important, right? In other words, you could say uncle to the from the mother is your mother's brother is you could say is two steps from you, but that doesn't mean that. But that doesn't mean two steps is considered upsol, right? Depends how it's going. If it's going, you can't be made to him, but he can be made to you. Okay, so that's exactly one of the problems that the Rishonim don't like. Let's take a look at the Mukhi Yosef. Go ahead. Zoom Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. So I want to take it of Krovim. I said, that was the first problem they have, is what are the two groups? There's Dodo is one group, and Kol HaRoi sounds like another group. But according to Rashi, it just means the uncle that can be Yorish from you. It's not two groups. But the other problem, the main problem is in terms of Svara, that that this is a psul of Krovim. It's not a, it's a psul of Krovim. So Krovim goes by how close you are to another person. If I'm close to him, he's close to me. So what does it mean to say that I'm going to be possible to be made for my mother's brother, but he could be made for me? So this is not an inyan of negias edus. It's an inyan of korvason, So in other words, that's the main svara question between Rashi and the other Mefarshim, right? According to Rashi, that seems to be the machlokas of the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva, right? Like we discussed before. That the question is, in the Torah, what is the psul of Krovim? Is it a separate category? Is it a new institution? That's the way Rabbi Akiva learns. There's a new institution of Krovim. And it has to be defined by the by the definition of Krovim themselves. So if you are a Krov to your uncle is a Krov to you. But according to Rashi, it's interesting. According to Rashi, it was a different idea. It's not a new category of psul. It stems from the idea of nogea.
Even in the
Mishnah? In the Mishnah Rishonah.
Rishon.
Right, in the Mishnah Rishonah. It stems from the idea, that's the machlokas. It stems from the idea of nogea, but it's quantified. It's objectified. As opposed to being a nogea in terms of the case, you're a nogea in terms of his rishus. But it's an extension of nogea. That's the question. The psul of Krovim, is it a new institution or is it a solidification or some sort of an objectification of nogea, taken out of the particular more into the general? It was not in this particular case, but in his rishus in general. Okay, but that's one approach to the machlokes from the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva. And then according to Rashi, you have to say that those are what the drushes work out. How far back do you have to go to still be considered a nogea? I mean, how direct of a relationship to the guy's rishus are you to be considered a nogea? If it's my third cousin twice removed, that's less of a nogea to his rishus. But it has to do with being a nogea to the rishus. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so how did they learn the Mishnah Rishonah? Go ahead.
Pure shame.
So now the Nemuki Yosef explains, I think this is really the Ramban's Shita, close to the Ramban's Shita, that Mishnah Rishonah was saying who's kosher, and it was Mishnah Rishonah is saying more people are kosher than the Mishnah we have, than Rabbi Akiva's Mishnah. Okay, so who is it bringing in? Who is it being machshir? So according to the Nemuki Yosef's, these Mefarshim, it's including who? Krove Ishus. Anyone that you consider the Korov to because of marriage. Okay. Why? Because they're not called Roi Liyorsho. You only a Roi Liyoresh somebody when you Yoresh them Mamish. What does that mean? Like a Korov Atzmo.
Like you to your uncle.
That's right, me to my uncle. Bain min ha'av, bain min ha'im. Doesn't matter if it's from the mother or the father, but as long as it is directly to me, not via a wife, that I get my Yerusha, then I'm considered the Karov to him.
What are we working in terms of you giving over Yerusha to someone else?
Oh, he doesn't care about that.
Okay.
No, that's it. That's his. He's saying it doesn't make sense to say that we care if I give the Yerusha or if I get the Yerusha. It was an interesting thing to think about. I think as long as Yerusha goes in either direction, then that means we're Krovim. Right? Then that means we're Krovim. Okay? But, so anyone that I get Yerusha from is a Karov. Even if I can't give Yerusha to them, they're still Krovim. So who is being excluded? The wife. Relations, people that I inherit from via the mechanism of marriage. Continue.
Why would you ever inherit someone through marriage?
What's that?
Why won't you ever inherit someone through marriage?
I could inherit someone through marriage, but that's not considered a Karov.
Is your father-in-law your brother-in-law?
Yerushalmi probably means anything.
Let's go. He'll explain a little more. Go ahead. Any type of... Right.
Masha'in kein b'krovi ishus. She'in habal zocha li'olam. El miyad ishto.
In other words, where do I get the money? How am I zocha to my mother's brother's money? How? Because he's a relative. He's a karov. He's not a stranger. But let's say my mother's, let's say my sister's husband's money.
They lost their sister.
It's only because she's married to the sister.
Well, what's the difference? If it's your wife, you can inherit your brother-in-law through your father-in-law.
You can inherit your brother-in-law?
No, your sister could inherit your brother-in-law.
Right, yeah. So you're not going to see them.
Through the sister, not through the...
And then if she dies, I could get it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. If she dies later on.
Right.
Oh.
It seems right. Pretty far...
But then it's not his money.
It seems like more directly.
Yeah. I thought it meant like your... or something like that.
Yeah, that too. Right. Or your wife's brother. Yeah. Right, your wife's brother.
It seems like more direct.
Or your cousin. Doesn't he have the cousin also from the mother? Well, let's see. Right, let's,
what's being said?
Well, the idea is if you get the Yerusha through marriage, that's not called a karov. It has to be that you're getting the Yerusha through the blood relation.
So let's say the money that comes to you through marriage.
The cases, we'll have to see exactly which cases you're referring to. But go ahead, yeah. Your wife. A man inherits his wife.
Huh.
Now, as we all know, a man inherits his wife. That's the halacha. So.
I'm just not sure. Does he mean that, like.
So let's go through the cases. Go ahead. Let's go through the cases. Go ahead. Let's go.
Wait, what happens if.
Continue. Let's get the cases. Good. Where are you up to? Right, got it, good. So Mashiach Krove Ishus. So any Krove, any relation through marriage, that how does the husband get? Through his wife. Through his wife. That's the story in the end of Bamidbar. Right? In the end of Bamidbar. That the Benos Slavchad came to the Bnei Shivto, who was Shdei Yosef, came to Moshe and said, it's going to be a problem here. All the daughters are going to inherit the father's chelek, right? Gil, the daughters are going to inherit the father's chelek, right? And they're going to marry other shvatim. So what's going to happen to that chelek? It's going to go to other shvatim, right? In other words, Benos Slavchad, They got the Yerusha from their father, because there was no brother, right? But now, let's say they marry other Shvatim. So they get an Achuza, an Eretz Yisrael, that's supposed to be part of the Shevet of their father. But they're going to marry another Shevet. And when they die, that Yerusha is going to go to a different Shevet. It's going to turn out that because of this marriage, the Nachla of this Shevet is going to be diluted to is going to be transferred to other shvatim, right? Yes, right.
Different times.
Okay, so Vayikru Roshi Havos the Mishpachas Bnei Gila BeMoche BeMenasha Mishpachos Bnei Yosef Yedav Bnei Moshe Bnei Anasim, right? Roshi Havos of Bnei Yisrael. So the Bnei Menasha came from Yosef, and they went to Moshe and the Anasim, and they said. Adoni Tziva Hashem Vayomru as Adoni Tziva Hashem Losses his arts Benachla Begoral of Neisrael. So God said to divide it in a Goral. Vadoni Tziva Hashem, and you, my master, were commanded by God Losses his Nachla Slavchor Avinu Livinosov, right, to give it to his daughters. Vahayu Le'echa Mibne Shivde Bnei Yisrael, Linoshim, Vinigro Nachaloson, Minachlas Avasenu, Vinosav Nachlas Amate, Asher Tienu Lohem, Umigo Nachalasenu, Yigorea. So what's going to happen? The Benos Slavchad, they're going to marry from another Shevet. And that Nachla that we're going to give to them is going to go to another Shevet. So now our Shevet is going to be deficient. Right? And that's going to be, it's going to be lost forever. So that's why there was a special decree for the Benos Slavchad to marry only within their Shevet. Right? You can marry whoever you like, right? As long as it's within your shevet. Okay, so what happened to their basheret? I guess it was in the shevet. The nachla shouldn't shift from shevet to shevet. Alright, so.
Can a nachla shift even
without,
like, after this stuff?
Yeah.
Like, after the
Shiva? Could a nachla.
Another guy only had daughters.
That's what it means.
Right. So, I mean, this is like a one time thing from the
stuff. Yeah. That's a good question. Right. I think there were the Ramban talks about that.
Why is that such a big deal if.
This is not a mitzvah ladoros, you're saying.
Why is this a big deal if the land shifts?
The whole Basi Yeresh Nachal Matas B'nai Yisrael. Yeah.
Why is this such a big deal if the land shifts?
Because it's supposed to be a certain unity of the land of one Shevet. There's a portion. The Eretz Yisrael should be divided up. Now you're going to have, here's the division, and this little spot is to the other Shevet. Within the Menashe is going to be a little spot that belongs to another Shevet.
Okay, but that happens to almost every Shevet when they marry outside their Shevet, yes?
So once they marry.
If they only have daughters.
Right.
Once
they marry.
But Slavkhod was the only guy like that at this time. He was the only guy that had no son.
So once you marry.
That's what Ramban says.
The Yerusha changes.
What's that?
Hard to believe.
There was the fact.
Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Right. But what's your question? Answer the question. Is your question, is this Ladoros, or is your question, who cares about that?
Yeah, who cares? Like, who cares if the little bit of land, it's not such a big piece of land.
If you're saying once he marries outside of the
Shevet,
the
Yerusha
will shift.
That's right. The Achuza shifts. The
Achuza
will shift.
So that's the same thing with the husband. Because if you marry outside of the Yerusha,
the Yerusha will shift. In other words, assuming there's a good to have the land of Eretz Yisrael divided amongst and designated to Shvatim, there's a bad in having that undermined. Okay?
So this is only
so that's what B'nai Yosef is saying, look, now we're going to have our Nachla is going to actually be diminished. It's not just mixed up, it's actually going to be lessened. We're not going to have as much Nachla as we were given because of B'nos Slochot. So the question is, is this Ladoros or not? But and if it's not, why was it necessary at this particular time? But this is the first group being Yoresh the land. This was the original Chalukah, right? Because B'nos Slochot were going to get married, and they all did have to get married, by the way, you don't have to worry, to men in their shaving. It's going to be the initial chalukah is not going to be the way the Goral designated it. The Goral designated all of this land should be to Benasha, and it's not going to be. They said that's not right, and they were right. They were right. It's possible to lose your nachla. I mean, later on, it's possible to lose your nachla. There's a whole parsha about it. If you sell your land and you don't buy it back within a certain time. Well, no, Yovel doesn't always work. Depends if you give it to the kahuna, if you buy it and you don't rebuy it in a certain amount of time. If it's a part of your choma, there are a lot of different rules. There are certain cases where you could lose it forever. Gotta go through those cases again, but there are certain cases like that. Anyway, so let's continue. So that's the point over here, that a wife could take the wife's inheritance, the wife's reshus will go to the husband. Go ahead, but that doesn't make them krovim. That doesn't make them krovim in terms of the psul of krovim. Go ahead, where are we up to? Shein abal zoche liolam elamiyad ishto shim mesa oniskarsha ein lo klum. So Ramban emphasizes this point. In other words, the money will flow through the wife, right? Because she'll inherit from her father, let's say, and then you'll inherit from her, and then the husband will inherit from her. But that's not called krovim. Why? Because if she were to predecease, or if she were to be divorced, then you wouldn't get it, right?
If she dies, when?
If she dies before her father, let's say.
Okay, fine.
So you would never get that money. Right. But in real Yerusha, it works the opposite way. Right? Now, how would I inherit from my brother? course, it'll go to the father, right? And if the but if the father's alive, then you have to wait for the father to die. But if the father's dead, it goes immediately to the brother, right? So real mechanism of Yerusha, when the one who you're getting from dies first, then you get it immediately. But over here, you're getting it from your wife, but if she dies first, you don't get it at all.
Is there any other case, I guess?
Right, that's not a Yerusha. That's not real. That's not real closeness to the other person. That means you're just inheriting her. You're not really inheriting them through her. You understand? If I inherit my brother through my father, so then that means if Reuven inherits Shimon through Yaakov, so then if Yaakov is alive, Yaakov will inherit, and then when Yaakov dies, Reuven will inherit. But if Yaakov is gone before Shimon dies, then Reuven gets it immediately. So that means to say that via Yaakov, they're related. You understand?
Even the marriage part?
No, no marriage in this case. But if I say that Reuven will inherit from Rachel, right? Because of through Yaakov, but not if Rachel dies first. Then doesn't or let's say the wife case, the regular wife case, right? A man will inherit through his wife. He'll inherit his wife's relatives. But that doesn't make them, that doesn't mean they're related through the wife. That doesn't mean they're related. That doesn't mean they're krovim. It only means that he inherits his wife. That's all it means.
Meaning it means they're related through the wife. No other
way. No other way. Not really related.
Right.
They're not really related. If the wife dies, and then the whole thing is gone. That's not really krovim. So that's what he's saying the Mishnah Rishon is excluding. Any has to be really a roi leyoresh. Not just practically that you get the Yerusha through your wife. That's not a roi liyor. That's not a really roi. That's just effectively you'll get it. Yeah. Right. No, I think you're right. I think the Ramban says that when your wife inherits, Masha Kana Isha Kana Baila. So it becomes like you get it. You get it.
It's not because you're going to inherit her.
It's not because you're going to inherit her. You're right.
But in terms of the condition here,
in terms of the condition,
an inheritance, therefore it doesn't matter that he has access to it.
In terms of here, he's not really a Yoresh. That's all they're trying to say.
She is the Yoresh.
She's the Yoresh. You are Yoresh via her. Correct. Right. I think that's the Lashon of the Ramban in the Milchamos. So we have it right here. The Milchamos.
So the Yoresh, you just have to have access to that fund.
Yeah, he says... Fisha Ain Baal, it's on page Zion on the base. Three lines down. Vegamze Aino Nochon Beinai. Lefisha Af Bala Choso Vekol Krove Ishus Ain Ruyan Lyorsho Ela Ishto Hu Yoresh Umido Hu Zocha. Right? Umiyodo Hu Zocha. Veino Nikra Yoresh the Krovea. Sheilu Meso Niskarsha Aino Yoresh Klum. Right? But I think he mentions also later. It's only through her. I mean, but does he have that? I thought I saw that somewhere else. So she gets it through. Okay, right. So therefore, according to the Mishnah Rishona, it's only Krovei Ha'av and Krovei Ha'aim. Nothing through marriage. Go ahead. Where are you up to?
Right.
Okay, Hilkach Aim Psulun Lemishna Rishona El Krovei Ha'av VeKrovei Ha'aim Bilvad, right? Umasnisin Hachikitani. How do you learn the Mishnah like this? Dodo uben dodo is mitzad ha'av VeKol haroi liyorsho ke'ena shinuyim b'madrega hazos. And he changes it to madrega, right? And all of those that are roi to inherit in this level, klomar, dehu rishon b'sheni o sheni b'sheni. It means to say that Yerusha will travel all the way up and all the way down. So where is it limited to? Whereas now, what we're saying related is means you're Yorish, but you can be Yorish your second cousin three times removed, right? So where does it mean? So where's the limitation on Yerusha? Where's the limitation on Yerusha? It means on the level of uncle and cousin, meaning a Rishon Vesheni or a Sheni Vesheni. Kigon Dodo Uben Dodo. Okay, and what? V'had lo tani kol aroi li yarsho v'su lo hava mino afilu rechokim kama kol shehem yishevet echad. So why didn't it just say kol aroi li yarsho? Because then that would be unlimited, like we just said before. So that's why it says dodo. To tell you, we only include the Yerusha on this. We only look to Yerusha to create the psul of krovim on the level of uncle and cousin. And if it would have just said dodu uben dodo alone, I would have said it's dafka from the father and not from the mother. Okay. All right. Let's just get the pshat. So what's the pshat? According to the Mishnah Rishona, who's pasul to you? Who's pasul? Uncles and cousins. On both sides, whether it's from your mother or whether it's from your father. And who is excluded from the psul? Who's excluded? Anyone who you'll inherit through Ishus, right? Through marriage. So it comes out that the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Kiva are arguing on the marriage issue, essentially. Essentially, they're arguing on the marriage issue. Does marriage create psulim of krovim?
So he's
two expressions. So now in terms of the questions he asked on Rashi, he's saying it had to say kol. He's saying that kol aroi liyarsho is to exclude a havamina, that dodo uben dodo means your father's side, only your father's side. And it couldn't have just said kol aroi liyarsho because that would have been unlimited. All right, but al pi svara, can we get a svara question going on? Can we have a machlokas here? Right. Right, oh, that's a good point. In other words, it's not like, it's a little bit confusing because those Mishnah Rishona says you only get because you're when you're Yoresh directly, but that doesn't mean that Rabbi Akiva is learning that you get because you're Yoresh indirectly. The Yerusha is not important according to Rabbi Akiva. Because your step sign will be possible to you, even though you have nothing to do with each other in terms of Yerusha. It's not like they're agreeing that Yerusha is the thing, and they're just arguing, what about Yerusha through the wife, or only Yerusha through yourself? You know what I mean? It just happens to be that when Mishnah Rishona is saying this is the only thing that there is, direct relationships. But that doesn't mean that indirect is what Rabbi Akiva held from. Direct Yerusha. That doesn't mean that Rabbi Akiva held indirect Yerusha is the function of Krovim, of Psulim. Because Chargo is not a Yoresh at all.
So why
we don't really know. So you know, you can't make the machlokas about Yerusha.
Thing.
Right. Yeah, now take a look. Take a look at the this Gemara quickly. Take a look at Gemara on Chaf Zion. Is it Chaf Ches? Hold on. Take a look at Chaf Ches on the base. Okay. Three lines from the wide lines. Two lines, fine. Ki da'omer Rabbi Chiya bar Ami mishmei de'ula. Ishto arusa lo onen v'lo matame lo. Chein hi lo onenes v'lo matame lo. So if you have a woman, if a man is engaged, an arusa, so they're not considered, he can't be, if he's a kohen, he can't be matame for her. Okay.
Arusa is non-basula?
No, Arusa just means Kedushin, Nisuin. Okay. Mesa Eino Yarsha. If she dies, he's not Yoresh. Mesu Govaksuvasa. Okay. Yeah. So, because the Gemara was saying before, Amar Rabbi Rachana, Meyed Adon L'Ishto Arusa. Okay. Can you be Meyed for your Arusa? Can you be Meyed on your engaged, on the woman you're engaged to? Okay. So the Gemara says, Ravina said, you can't. You can't be Meyed in her favor. You can only be Meyed against her. Okay. So the Gemara says, why? They're not related. Right? Because you see that he won't inherit and he can't be Metame, so they're not related. Right? So the Gemara says, no, Hosam b'she'ero tala rahmana. Akati lav she'ero hi. So before the Nisuin, they're not considered family. Hacha mishum ikruve daitahu. But over here, the psul to be made on her behalf is because you're close to her. You have a kiruv das. You like her. V'ha ikrav daite legabo. Once they're engaged, they have a certain kiruv das. So in other words, the point is like this. We can't define it well at this point. But there's an inyan of krovim. We know that the Torah says is a psul of krovim. Krovim, but there's two ideas of krovim. There's krovim in terms of who you are on the family tree, your origins, your where you come from. So that's set from the, that is set, and which family you're considered a part of, what's your lineage, what's your heritage, what's your clan, okay? All of that is set in terms of birth. Those things are determined by birth, okay? And how close are we talking? That's Dodo and Ben Dodo. Okay, but in other words, it means to say it's like an extension of your existence. In terms of Atzmo, I can't be made on myself, and there's a certain inyan of a Kurov ki Atzmo. Okay, but it has to do with an objectively, how do I define me? The son of my father, son of my mother. Okay, so then those relationships define a certain psul of krovim. But there's another inyan of krovim, and that is, who is my immediate, how would you put it? What were you trying to say?
People you view as relatives to you.
Well, yeah, we got to work on that definition. In other words, when you marry somebody, you don't become part of their lineage. You don't become part of their family tree, but they become part of your immediate circle of...
You get invited to for barbecue.
They are part of your immediate circle of people. Now, there's a distinction between family and others. In which framework are we talking? The psul of krovim, which framework is the psul of krovim in? Is it in terms of family as a definition of who you are or of where you come from? I always like to find a little catchphrase, okay? So is it in terms of where you come from or who you are? Okay, let's put it that way. In other words, who I am means I married into this family. Now her brother is part of my circle of immediate relations, because I relate to them in a more intimate way than I relate to anyone else. Definitively, via the mechanism of family, the mechanism of marriage, the inner circle of people has included them, and even one step from them, Yona, the circle theory. And even one step in them, even one step around them is included in that circle of who are my immediate relations in terms of who I relate to, not in terms of, but in terms of where I'm from. That's a definition of me, and that's impossible to change. So it seems that, in other words, according to Rashi, Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva were arguing about the nature of the psul. Is it krovim or is it nogeya? The Mishnah Rishona and the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva, according to the other Rishonim, are arguing on how you on which set of krovim are we talking about. Let me just tell you something. It's not strange. If you take a look at Hilchos Arayos, for instance, it does include, marriage does create Arayos. Your wife's mother is also to you. That's called a krov in a certain sense. There are other frameworks in the Torah that have an inyan of krovim. Okay, so we'll get to that. That's another inyan. But the point is, it's what framework are we discussing? In what framework of krovim are we discussing? Is it the krovim in terms of atzmo, in terms of like who I am myself, in terms of how I define myself? So that goes ben so and so, and that's all fixed. Yoresh is a measure of that. The Yoresh Atzmo is a measure of that. But it's a certain type of krovim. Or is the krovim of Eidos dependent more on your immediate confidence, your immediate circle of the... No, it's close. Karov means close. So in what sense does it mean close? Close to you in terms of where you're from, or close to you in the actual way that you are right now, in the community sense that you exist right now. So in the community sense that you exist right now, the family of your wife is going to be included. But in the sense of defining you as you, in terms of your origin, who's closest to you in terms of your own existence, so then my brother's very close to my existence, my father's very close to my existence, because they're part of my very existence in terms of definition. All right, let's think it through. There's one other shita, and that's the Ramban, and he holds dafka krove ha'av. And that's the way the Rambam seems to learn. And because they learn a little differently. They learn it goes by nachala, but in terms of nachala, you don't really inherit the krove aim directly. It's direct nachala.
Korveim would work the same way.
The mother's is like a second. I'll always leave that sheet alone. But that's like a modification of the Yoresh Svara. It was your money. No, it was Yerusha is a measure of Atzmo, because your money should remain with what is closest to who you are. It should remain with you. So how does it remain with you? It goes to the one who is closest to you in terms of your mahus, in terms of what you are. So it goes to your father, goes to your brother, goes to your son. Son is the greatest expression of who you are. Right? Your brother-in-law, not so much. That might be who you're with. That's who you're with. That's not who you are. You know what I'm saying? So if we're learning the psulim in terms of like a din of a karov, means to say it's an extension of the idea of atzmo, then we look to Yerusha. Because the money shouldn't just arbitrarily go, the money should stay as close to who you are as possible. So that's the mechanism of Yerusha. But if we're going to talk about krovim as a psul of who you're with, like we define definitively your group, then marrying in could make you part of that group too. Different kind of an idea of Yerusha, of psul, of krov. It's two ways of defining karov. It might we have to just. It's not a full svar. We're just giving it a. We're defining. You know what I mean? We're just defining what two ways of defining karov is what we're doing. We're showing that this one is using this definition of karov, and this one is using that definition of karov. What's the deeper psul of karov that he should think the psul of karov goes by this definition, or he thinks the psul of karov goes by that? That we don't know. We're not up to that step. Just classifying it. I can classify Krovim in different ways. In terms of lineage or in terms of your relationships. Okay.
Genealogical versus sociological.
Got the Palo Alto stamp on that one.